Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network.
The Axe and Crown. Episode 4, The Artful Dodger.
Oh! Wilhelm hat Groff vergessen! Great! Damn it, Uncle!
Good morning! Oh my gosh, Betula, are you okay?
I'm fine.
That doesn't look very comfy.
I'm fine.
Hanging upside down like that?
It's fine. I was just looking around for something to eat and suddenly this rope thing went off.
Ah, that's Gubbin for you. He's got traps everywhere. He never thinks to warn anyone.
Ugh, I should have known. The kitchen door, though?
Yeah, the kitchen is off limits, apparently. But don't feel bad. I got caught in that one myself.
That's nice. I can't reach my knife. Could you just...
Oh, no. No, you shouldn't need to cut anything. When I set that one off, Gubbin had like a release button for it. I think it was somewhere down here.
No, Stan, please, just give me my knife. It's right here. You can see the sheath. Look, look where I'm pointing. Stan,
no, I remember.
Stan, look,
he
reached
under the bar. He must have flipped a lever or something.
Ow! Oh, gods.
Okay, so he's got another trap under the bar. I was not expecting that. Wow, okay. My arm is totally stuck now. How crazy is that?
That's great.
Oh, that Gubbin. What a smart guy, you know?
What a guy.
Hey, Gubbin. Are you up yet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's get Uncle in here so he can gloat. That's a great idea.
So, is this your first time in Forloria?
What? Yeah. First time.
Nice. How are you enjoying it so far?
So far, let's see. Had to drag my trunk all over town looking for this place, and now I'm hanging from the ceiling in one of my uncle's stupid booby traps.
Right, yeah, that's a lousy start. Ugh. Hey, if you're free today, I can give you that guided tour of Granville, let you see the city properly.
That's nice of you, but I've got to be on my way today.
Oh, no, really? Where are you headed?
Oh, way east.
Ah, like towards Mediocria. That's a nice part of the country.
So I hear.
So you don't even have time for like a little sightseeing?
Sorry, no.
Ah. Oh, by the way, you still got to change your money, right?
Right.
Well, I hate to... I hate to be the one to tell you this, but you know that Malorian coin that you gave us last night?
What about it?
Well, I took it to the bank this morning, and they showed me this really cool thing. See, here's your coin, and if I weigh it, well, I don't think I have a balance here, but anyway, apparently this coin weighs the same as 214 grains of barley.
That's fascinating.
No, but then get this. You stick it in the water, and then I think it's the amount that spills out divided by the number of grains, something like that. Anyway, I didn't want to tell Gubbin since he would blow it out of proportion. But the point is, it's not real.
What's not?
This coin. I think someone back in Meloria gave you some fake currency.
What do you mean, not real?
What's not real?
Nothing.
Huh. Oh, somebody been trying to jimmy the lock on the kitchen door.
I was hungry. I thought you might have some food around.
Kitchen's off limits.
Apparently.
Let's see that coin, Stan.
I do not know what coin you are currently referring to.
Ow.
Okay, right. Yes, this coin right here.
Huh. Regna del Meloria, 5 royales. Looks like gold, doesn't it?
It is gold.
Well, let's just see here.
No, don't. Oh, Gubbin.
Well, would you look at that? Solid lead with a layer of brass and just the tiniest bit of gold leaf around it. Probably worth, what, about sixpence?
I heard lead isn't very good for you.
This ain't legal tender. There or here.
Well, how was I supposed to know? I'm not an alchemist. Can you let me out of this net?
Oh, while you're at it, me too. I'm kind of stuck.
This all the money you got?
Yeah, I mean, I got more money, but it's just more of these.
Where'd you get them?
In Maioria. Uncle, let me out of this stupid trap.
Where in Maioria?
It's Maioria.
Where in Maioria?
A guy.
What guy?
Just a guy, an artist.
Here we go.
What, is there something wrong with artists?
What was his name?
Arvando Bassi.
Bassi?
Yes.
Why do I know that name?
What the hell were you doing taking money from a Malurian artist? One of the Bassis, no less.
Let me down and I'll tell you.
Fine.
Cool, are you okay?
A bit of warning would have been nice.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
How did you get mixed up with the Bassis?
Also, who are they? Also, can you let me out next?
The Bassis are the most notorious art cabal in Maioria.
Notorious how?
Turns out they're into art theft, forging sculptures and paintings, ancient relics, and I guess forging money too.
Won't find a more subversive, transgressive band of hoodlums this side of the Pointy Lands.
But I didn't know any of that when I met Arvando.
So what were you doing in Maioria?
I was going to school there, working odd jobs to get by, and then one day this guy approached me, said he was a painter and a sculptor and wanted to hire me as his model.
You worked as a model?
So I said okay, and so Arvando did a couple of paintings of me. But soon he had me helping him out with frescoes and installations, carrying his supplies, setting up scaffolding, and sometimes I'd just stand outside while he was chatting with someone and make sure they saw me. The way he talked, I figured it was just because he wanted to show me off.
Uh-huh.
Which was a little weird, but whatever. What can I say? He could talk anyone into anything.
Especially with a 7-foot-high troll standing next to him. Can't believe you were working for Arvando Bassi.
I just thought he was a solid guy, okay? He paid me good money.
Good fake money.
Yes. Anyway, we spent weeks preparing for his next big show. Lots of pictures of the rich and famous trying to win over new patrons. So this hall's full of dukes and bishops and bankers. And when it comes time for opening night, this rival group called the Magical Demolitionists have vandalized every piece in the hall.
Oh, no! Like they smashed everything?
Worse. They changed things. Huh? They took the heads off his sculptures and switched them. They cut up his paintings and rearranged them. And in doing so, they recontextualized them in a manner that forced one to confront the paradoxical and hypocritical nature of power and legitimacy in modern society.
Frickin' artists.
I don't get it.
Don't you see? He invited all these nobles so he could flatter them, and instead all they saw were paintings full of symbolism about how they were lying and sleeping with each other and stealing from everyone in the kingdom.
Which was all lies, I'm sure.
Oh, it was all true. But you still shouldn't put it in a painting. They would have killed him for treason if his parents hadn't stepped in. But all of a sudden, every two-bit fresco painter decided they wanted a piece. All the movements and factions piled on, trying to get the upper hand. One day, all six members of the Maniacal Five had their heads mysteriously bashed in by gargoyles falling off buildings.
Whoa.
That was the demos, of course. Oh, the demolitionists. Before long, they had control of the trade in watercolors and miniatures. Then they got together with the East Side Post's Reasonablists to take on the Bassis head-to-head.
Yeah. And the Bassis?
Arvando was laying low after the big fiasco. But that was before the whole Azandia thing.
What's an Azandia?
His racehorse. She was a gift from his parents, I think.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Arvando loved that horse. Fed her on wine and pastries. He got me to install a toiletty for her in the stable.
A what?
A water closet. It's like a chamber pot, but it's got running water.
What the hell for?
For flushing it. It's the latest thing in Maioria. Very expensive.
He had you install a toiletty for his horse?
I told you, Azandia was his little princess. Literally. He made her wear a silver tiara. But anyway, a couple weeks after the demolitionists make their move, Arvando's got an unveiling. Great big statue of the Duke in the main square. I'm working security in case anybody tries anything creative. I catch a couple of demos trying to sneak in with brushes and glue, so I knock some sense into them, and that's it. The unveiling goes off without a hitch. All his patrons are overjoyed.
But
that night, Arvando comes home from the big party, goes up to his chambers.
Oh, no, I don't like this story.
And finds the bedclothes all stained, and sitting right in the middle of the bed.
No, stop, seriously.
Is a Zandia the Horse's brand new toiletty.
Wait, what?
And in front of it, there's a little plaque, like in a museum, says the complete works of Arvando Bassi.
Wow, that's, I guess that's terrible?
Yeah, that was just way too on the nose. Arvando basically snapped. Started a new series of allegorical portraits of his enemies.
Portraits? Well, it could have been worse. At least he wasn't...
Using their own blood.
Oh, okay.
I kept thinking, these paintings smell weird, but I didn't clue in until the night he had me line the floor and walls with canvases, gave me this big knife, and asked me to help him bring someone in. So at that point, I figured it was time for me to make an exit.
You stole his money and ran.
What else was I going to do?
Well, at least it wasn't real money.
Yeah. At least it was counterfeit that you stole from a gangster. And paid your uncle with.
Look, I'm sorry about the coins. I honestly didn't know.
You think he knows where you went?
Yeah, I cover my tracks pretty well. I mean, it's always kind of hard being discreet in human country.
Yeah, well, I can't guarantee you'll be safe here, but if you need a place to stay...
I don't want to bring anything bad down on you guys.
We'll deal. If anyone shows up in the town and starts asking about trolls, I'll hear about it. Your artist friends come for you, they'll have to come through me.
Thanks, Uncle.
And me.
Sure.
So, Anna Badula, you going to be sensible about this or what?
Yeah, I'll stay.
Woohoo!
Thanks, Uncle.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's 2 crowns a night, no meals.
Come in.
Nope, it's fine. I just need to find a place to change these coins.
Stan tried to change one at the bank. Word's going to get out.
I can help you out with the rent.
No, I can pay my own way. I'll find work and I'll pay you back properly, Uncle.
See to it. You got 1 week.
Thanks.
Yay! It all worked out. My arm is still stuck. Hello? Guys? I'm still... Guys? Can you come back? Because I'm still in the trap.
The Axe and Crown. Starring Hugo Jones, Art Carlson, and Marisa King. Written and directed by Eli McElveen. Recorded in Toronto at Trench Recordings. Sound design by Eli McElveen. Produced by Sean Howard.
I'm Armando Bassi. I want to come and I'm gonna beat up Batuta. No, you're not. I'm Stan, and I'm here to protect her. I only have one hand left because the other one got amputated because it lost all the circulation. But still, I don't care because I'm going to get you. Oh no, please don't.
Stan, stop your fooling. Get to work.
Sorry.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Modes of thought in Antaran literature. Second-year classics, Harvard University.
7 years ago, a Chinese military sub accidentally went down in the Pacific Ocean. Turns out, the sub fell smack in front of a gigantic three-sided pyramid in the ruins of what we now call Dark City.
This Antaran lit class seems like there's a lot of debate about it.
Legally, I cannot stop you from teaching this class, but I strongly advise that
what?
You know what? If you want to tank your reputation, that's on you.
You don't believe a word I say about Antaran, right?
You're right. I do not believe Antara exists.
I need to know. Is it real?
You came all the way to China to find out?
Okay, everyone get out right now. Now, Raquel, what the hell are you doing?
I'm gonna cut my hand, and you're all gonna feel it.
Ow!
See? I told you.
Modes of Thought in Antaran Literature. An audio drama. Produced by Wolf of the Door Studios. For more information, please visit WLFDR.com.